An old wooden sign hangs from shackles and displays the opening credits, which read Irving Berlin's Holiday Inn, starring Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire. It now reads with Marjorie Reynolds, Virginia Dale, Walter Abel, Louise Beavers, then the technical credits follow. A page from a calendar is shown with December written across the screen. The 24th is highlighted. The square with the 24th and the words Christmas Eve on it now fill the screen.
Merry Christmas, bud!
Thank you! Merry Christmas to you!
Okay, I see.
Heavy snow falls as a taxi pulls up at a nightclub. Ted Hanover gets out of the taxi. Outside the club, two young boys dance as a third boy plays a mouth organ. Ted dances with them for a moment, then gives them each some money. They smile appreciatively. He walks over to a man dressed as Santa Claus who lethargically rings a handbell. Ted takes the bell and steps up the beat and hands it back to Santa, who then keeps the more energetic ringing going. Ted drops some money into Santa's collection pot. He now clears the snow from a large poster, which at the top reads Appearing Nightly, Hanover, Hardy and Dixon, and shows pictures of him and his two co-stars, Jim Hardy and Leela Dixon. In the nightclub, Ted is about to go into Leela's dressing room when he hears Jim's whistling, so he hurries out of sight. Jim knocks on Leela's door.
Come in.
Hello, honey. Well, this is our last night in show business. Some feeling, huh?
Some feeling.
I got the ring and the license. Honey, we're ready.
Oh.
Say, there's a hook left over at the top here. Should that be?
Oh, never mind that, dear. I'll take care of it. Jim.
Huh?
I think that tie's terrible.
Who cares? Tomorrow I'm a farmer.
You'd better go change it.
Listen, honey, when you flip them those twinkle toes, who's going to be looking at my tie?
You only have 5 minutes. Hurry.
Okay. I'm on my way.
Jim leaves Leela's dressing room, examining his tie. Once his path is clear, Ted then slips in and kisses Leela on the cheek.
What'd he say?
I didn't tell him.
Why not? We love each other. You want to continue dancing.
I know, but he gets a look.
Oh, he's always had that look. It doesn't mean anything emotionally. It has something to do with his liver. Simply tell him you've made a mistake. You don't want to give up your career and live on a farm.
But he's already bought the farm. And the license. And the ring. Oh, I can't tell him.
All right, I will. Right after our number. Listen, darling. Don't weaken. Think of our life together. Think of diamonds, of sables, of your own little penthouse.
Is that a promise?
Well, just think about them for the time being.
Ready, Miss Dixon.
Well, thank you.
Say, this thing didn't come out even.
Oh, I'll fix it. We have to hurry.
I love you.
I love you. And Jim.
I love Jim, too, but after all, I mean, let's not be too chummy.
Ted with a bunch of flowers and Jim with a box of chocolates appear on stage. They almost bump into each other, then hiding their gifts, they cordially shake hands. And when Leela arrives, the number starts.
Here she comes, down the street.
My, oh my, ain't she sweet?
Why, here comes my hot toddy.
Over my dead body, I'll capture her heart, singing.
Just wait until she gets a load of my dancing.
Just wait till I start singing.
I'll take her strolling down the road with my dancing.
I can't go wrong, a tender song, and she'll discover my charm.
Some fancy taps, and she'll collapse, and fall right into my arms.
I'll capture her heart, singing.
Oh, no, you haven't a chance when I go into my dance.
I'll take you through life singing. La-da-da-dee, la-da-da-dee, la-da-da-dee. Boom, 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 boom.
I'll make you my wife. Dancing.
If you could dance instead of sing, I'd learn to love you somehow. If you could sing instead of dance, I'd take you home with me now. The way you sing don't mean a thing. You'd better stick to your dance. And as for you, your dance won't do. You'll have to sing for romance.
I'll capture her heart.
I'll capture her heart.
Singing.
Dancing.
Jim and Ted are getting changed in their dressing room.
Not much of a Christmas present for you, is it? I mean, both of us walking out on you.
Don't worry about me, kid. I'll do all right.
Oh, what a chump. Can't you see what we're walking out on? The grind. 365 days a year. When's the last time you had a day off?
I don't know, maybe last year.
You ever hear Thanksgiving or Labor Day or the 4th of July?
Vaguely.
You know what they are, don't you? They're holidays. Days of rest. There's lots of them. They mark them in red on the calendar so you can't miss them. What happens in show business when a holiday comes along? You give an extra performance. Not for me, brother. Lyle and I are going up to that farm in Connecticut, and we're going to live by the calendar.
Say, Jim, there's something you should know.
Oh, I know, Ted. I feel the same way about you. You know, we've had our ups and our downs, and we fought a little over the women we swiped from each other, but...
I know, but...
Sorry, Jimmy boy, but that's life. Ted, if I'm not the best manager in the business, I'll eat a garage mechanic shirt. 15 weeks at the Park Club, sight unseen for you and Lila. $200 a week more than you were getting with a farmer thrown in.
Ted grimaces.
What's the matter?
I haven't told him.
You haven't
told
him?
You haven't told him? Haven't told me what? What's this? What's the news?
Oh, don't be upset, Jim, dear. It isn't that I don't love you. I do. I love everybody, but when Ted explained how much he loved me and...
All at once, we both realized that we belong together.
The two of us, dedicating our lives to making people happy with their feet.
The two of you, huh? Dedicating your lives to making people happy with your feet. That's sweet. Well, I guess that kick I just got was a good start, huh?
Sorry, Jimmy boy, but that's life. It's best that you found out. Now, Jim, you wouldn't want to make Lila unhappy.
Oh, no, no, I wouldn't want to make Lila unhappy. Not now. Now that I really know her. What a narrow squeak that was.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, nothing, nothing, honey. Just happy that you're happy.
That little speech sounds like the crackle of Confederate money.
Well, kids, I'm still going to rejoin the human race. I hope you get a lot of work, holidays included. Dance yourselves into beautiful nervous breakdowns. If you ever want to look me up, you know where to find me, Midville, Connecticut. Under a large, shady tree. Just being lazy.
Lazy. I want to be lazy. I long to be out
A caption reads New Year's Day, and Jim is carrying a huge pile of logs in his arms and is unable to see where he is going as he collides with a pillar on his porch and falls backwards, dropping all the logs.
Stretching and yawning.
Next caption reads Lincoln's birthday, and Jim is working hard baling hay with a pitchfork.
Through the deep, tangled wildwood, counting sheep, till I sleep.
St. Valentine's Day, and late at night he's in a barn milking a cow.
With a great big police full of books to read, where it's peaceful, while I'm killing time, being led.
It's Easter Sunday, and Jim ploughs a field with a horse-drawn plough. Independence Day, he herds pigs into a pen and gets knocked over as the pigs barge past him. Thanksgiving Day, the alarm clock goes off at 3:45 a.m. Jim wakes up and angrily throws the clock at the bedroom wall, followed by the table lamp. He then rips a feather pillow apart. Next caption reveals it's Christmas Eve, and a telegram from Jim to Ted at Club Pierre is shown and reads, "Got a great idea while resting up in the sanitarium. See you tonight. Merry Christmas."
So Lazy Acres was a snare and a delusion, huh?
Oh, brother, there's the hardest work in the world.
Maybe you'd be happier back in town, Jim. Of course, if you get that agricultural urge again, you can always raise a geranium.
Oh, no. Wait till you hear. I think I've dreamed up the greatest idea I ever had.
And you've had some pips.
Oh, but this can't miss. I'm turning the farm into an inn. But what an inn.
Here. Read up, brother.
Holiday Inn, Midville, Connecticut. Get off the highway and relax on a farm. Dancing, entertainment, home cooking. Open holidays only. Open holidays only?
Mm-hmm.
Say, how many of those are there?
Oh, it's about 15. That gives me 350 days a year to kick around in.
He wouldn't think of that.
Did you get your discharge papers from that sanitarium?
Oh, don't you worry. This is going to work. I'm having auditions out at the farm every day. Say, if you run into any talent that's willing to work for a share of the take, will you send them out?
Sure. As soon as I get back. I'm flying down to Miami Beach tonight to set an engagement for Ted and Lila.
Lila. You forgot to order the flowers.
Now, don't get excited. There's a flower shop out at the airport. I guarantee to have orchids in her dressing room before her first number.
Boy, you better. As I remember, this kid even expects presents on Father's Day.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Jim. So long, Ted. Have a nice trip. I mean, yeah, thanks. I will.
Danny leaves.
That reminds me, I forgot to give him a little Christmas remembrance I brought along. Got one here for each of you.
Say, this is swell. What is it?
It's homemade peach preserves. I put them up myself just before I went into the sanitarium.
Boy, do I go for those. Well, why, they're great or even plain.
Non-fattening, too. Well, it's a long trip back to the farm. I think I'll get along. Will you say hello to Lila for me?
Oh, but you've got to wait and catch the act. We've got some new routines. And then after the show...
The lid blows off one of the jars of peach preserve. Ted and Jim hide behind a chair.
I don't think they like this nightclub air.
Another jar blows, showering them in sliced peach.
Wait, you better wait for Lila's.
They slowly emerge from behind the chair with bits of preserve in their hair.
I think Danny's was the loudest.
Oh, a different tone.
A large dollop drops from the ceiling, landing on Ted.
Dawn Patrol, huh?
Danny dashes into the flower shop.
Hello! Am I too late?
You would have been in another minute. Danny Reed. Listen, I have to wait on that man.
But...
I'll work 5 nights free. Anything. Just leave me alone and don't butt in. What would you like?
Orchids. The finest you've got.
Corsage?
No. A dozen. Loose. Looking like they don't care.
All right.
There. Lila, love. Ted. Have them delivered to Miss Lila Dixon at the Club Pierre before 11 o'clock tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry, but our delivery truck is on its last trip and won't be back until after 11.
How about a messenger boy?
Oh, it's impossible to guarantee delivery this late on Christmas Eve. But to help you out, I'll take them.
Oh, there you are.
A dozen orchids, please.
Lady, you're a lifesaver. Here, here's $5. Take your boyfriend out and show him a good time.
Oh, thank you, but let's consider this a personal favor.
Well, I can't leave town indebted to a stranger. Would you like to see the floor show at the club tonight?
Oh, I'd like to very much, but...
All right, now you just give this card to Francois, and he'll seat you at the entertainer's table.
Why, you're Mr. Reed.
Uh-oh.
I'm Linda Mason. Well, this is just a part-time job. Actually, I sing and dance. Mr. Reed, I want...
I know. You studied dancing since you were a little child. You spent long, weary hours in every theatrical agency in Broadway. But just now, I happened to be catching a plane to my...
Of course, once you told me I was no good, I could probably get a job in a bargain basement and like it.
Now, look, honestly, as soon as I get... Oh, of course. Sure. You worked hard. You want a chance. So what? So I'm going to give it to you.
A job?
Uh-huh. A friend of mine is opening a place in Connecticut, Holiday Inn. You take that card out there tomorrow, tell him I sent you, and you'll be all set.
Mr. Reed, how can I possibly thank you?
Don't. Just deliver those orchids and let me catch my plane.
Linda arrives at Club Pierre. Jim is seated at the table, still brushing peach preserve from his jacket.
This table's reserved for the band. Excuse me.
Fussy, isn't he? I think I'll have a bowl of coffee, huh?
And the lady?
Coffee.
The waiter takes the menus and walks away. Jim and Linda sit next to each other, both looking a little awkward.
Seem to be on the 40-cent tour here.
It is embarrassing.
I'm Jim Hardy.
Linda Mason.
Got a friend in the show?
Well, I'm here at Mr. Reed's invitation.
Oh, Danny. Then you know Ted Hanover.
What? Yes, naturally.
He's quite a man with the ladies, that Ted.
Well, after all, he's a very attractive man. Do you know him?
Oh, yes. Matter of fact, I've been considering Ted and his partner for my new club.
Oh, you have a place.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, though. His act might not go so well in a place as large as mine.
Well, I've found that the size of a place doesn't matter if one has sufficient personality.
That's what you found, huh? You in show business?
I'm Linda Mason.
Oh, Linda Mason.
Jim pulls a face, suggesting he's never heard of her. Just as Ted and Leela come onto the stage.
I could dance nightly just holding you tightly, my sweet. I could keep right on because you're so light on your feet. You're easy to dance with.
There is no doubt in the way we stand out in the crowd. Though it's called dancing to me, it's romance and our love.
You're easy to dance with. Loving you the way I do makes you easy to dance with. That is why I'm always right on the beat. All those chimes in one man's arms make you easy to dance with. I can hardly keep my mind on my feet.
Let's dance forever, come on, say we'll never be through.
It's so easy to dance with you. You're easy to dance with. easy to dance with.
Here they come.
Who?
Ted and Lila.
Linda rushes off.
Hey, what's the matter? Hello, Lila.
Jimmy, boy.
How are you?
I'm so glad to see you.
Good to see you.
I thought you were alone, Jim. Who's your friend and what's her hurry?
Don't ask me. She's your friend.
My?
Yes.
What is she afraid of, facing me?
Darling, I swear I never...
Darling, I swear.
Hey,
you lie. If you don't...
Bow.
Ted and Lila return to the stage and take another bow. In Connecticut, Jim is attaching a sign that reads Holiday Inn above the entrance to the building. A horse-drawn sleigh pulls up with Linda Mason sat next to the driver.
So this is Holiday Inn?
Yeah, will be if it ever opens up.
Well, why shouldn't it open?
Well, I ain't one to talk, but you could probably buy a half interest in this place for a barrel of apples. Next train for New York's at 7:43 if we can flag her down. Yeah.
Say, I'm looking for a job. Where's the boss?
Right here. I'll be down in a second.
They recognize one another, then Jim slips from the porch roof, falls, and knocks Linda into a pile of snow.
So, you're the big shot that didn't know whether Hanover and Dixon were good enough for your place.
That wasn't exactly hay you were throwing, either. I'm Linda Mason.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right, you're a fake and I'm a phony.
And we're both soaked.
Are you hurt?
I'll check later. Come on, let's get out of this before you catch cold. Well, here's what cooks.
Oh! Well, this is darling. Was it as large as this when it was a farmhouse?
Yeah, it was built by a fellow who felt cramped in New York. He finally ran out of lumber, though. Oh, Mamie!
Mamie!
A large black woman enters the room, followed by her two small children.
Is your name's Mamie?
No.
Get back in the kitchen.
As soon as she turns round, the children come back out and file in behind her.
My, my, what's happened?
Oh, we had a little accident. Mamie, this is Miss Linda Mason.
How do you do?
Pleased to know you, Miss Linda.
And these are her children, as Daphne and as Vanderbilt.
How do you do?
Mamie, will you take Miss Mason up in the guest room and change her into anything that'll fit her while we get her clothes dry, huh?
Sure thing, Mr. Jimmy. Come on, honey.
I'll see about getting a fire ready in the living room.
Is your name's Miss Linda?
No.
The children take one step back, then continue to follow Linda and Mamie up the stairs.
I don't know. It sounds like something you dream about at night. And it would be wonderful. Then you'd wake up in the morning and realize it couldn't work.
Oh, it'll work if I can sell the idea to some performers. They seem to think that profit sharing means taking bows on an empty stomach.
So that's why you're not open tonight.
Well, I'm also sort of particular about the kind of talent I'm going to use.
15 holidays a year.
Mm-hmm.
You're a lazy fellow.
No, not especially. Just have my own ideas about living.
My father was like you. Just a man with a family. Never amounted to much, didn't care. But as long as he was alive, we always had plenty to eat and clothes to keep us warm.
Were you happy?
Yes.
Then your father was a very successful man. Hope I can do as well.
Say, I came out here for a job. Could you use me?
Well, I might find a spot for you in my first show. What can you do?
I sing a little and dance.
Couldn't guarantee any salary at first. Right now, I've got the ledger in an iron lung.
I don't care if you pay off an egg. Just give me a chance.
Well, let's see what you can do.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
You know, I've written special music for each holiday. This sort of gives me a chance to keep a little promise I made to myself. I said I was going to sing this song at the inn tonight.
I'm dreaming of
of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas,
just like the ones I used to know,
where the treetops glisten,
and children listen
to hear
sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write,
may your days be merry and bright, and may be
one. The calendar now shows it's December the 31st, New Year's Eve. Press cuttings read, Midnight Roundup, Jim Hardy's Dream Baby Holiday Inn has weathered the horse laugh and opens tonight with the reservations indicating a capacity house. Apparently the freak idea intrigued the paying public. Broadway wise boys will be on hand to see what they can't believe. Where to Go printed, Holiday Inn opens tonight. Don't ask why, just go, and God bless America. Cars draw up at the snow-covered entrance to the Holiday Inn, bringing more guests. Inside, the tables are all occupied and waiting staff busily take orders for meals.
Happy holiday! Happy holiday!
While the merry bells keep ringing, may your every wish come true. Happy holiday! Happy holiday!
Calendar, keep ringing, happy holidays to you. If you're burdened down with trouble, if your nerves are wearing thin, park your load down the road and come to Holiday Inn.
If the traffic noise affects you like a squeaky violin, kick your cares down the stairs and come to Holiday Inn.
If you can't find somebody who will set your heart awhirl, get in your car and motor to the home of boy meets girl.
If you're laid up with a breakdown, throw away your vitamins.
Don't get worse.
Grab your nurse and come to Holiday Inn.
Happy holiday! Happy holiday!
May the calendar be free.
Happy holidays to you. Happy New Year, Ted!
Danny arrives at Ted's dressing room at Club Pierre. On a small desk is a telegram to Ted from Leela. It reads, "Sorry, darling, but flying to Texas tonight to marry the most wonderful millionaire in the world. Hope you find a new partner soon. Love, Leela." Danny reads the telegram and picks up an empty bottle of scotch that lies next to it.
No!
Francois, have you seen Mr. Hanover?
Twice, sir.
What happened?
The first, sir.
What happened?
The first time, sir, he came from his dressing room with a telegram in his hand. He ordered scotch and soda, a bottle of each.
I know. What then?
The second time he came from his dressing room, he asked which way is Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Connecticut. He said he has a friend there who knows about women, too.
Why didn't you stop him?
How could I stop him, sir, when I don't know which way is Connecticut?
Who said Holiday Inn wouldn't work? Well, we're going to divvy up a stack of important money tonight, huh?
Man.
I've got a landlady. He's going to ask for your autographed picture.
Everybody get something!
All right, come on now. Go to bed now. It's getting late.
Good night.
Jim and Linda are helping serve the food in the kitchen.
Look, it's almost time.
Say, it's practically straight up, isn't it? 1 minute to midnight, 1 minute to go, 1 minute to say goodbye before we say hello. Let's start the new year right, 12 o'clock tonight when they dim the light. Let's begin kissing the old year out. Kissing the new year in. Let's watch the old year die with a fond goodbye and our hopes as high as a kite. How can our love go wrong if we start the new year right?
That's it. It's midnight. I'll see you out on the floor, huh?
All right.
They both remove their aprons as the show is about to begin. Ted arrives at Holiday Inn, very drunk and unsteady on his feet. He gives his hat and gloves to the cloakroom girl. She then helps him off with his coat and his jacket comes off also.
I forgot my check.
You won't need that, but I think you'll need your coat.
Jim is grabbed by a female guest who wants to have a dance with him. The dance floor is crowded with dancing couples. Ted weaves his way through, avoiding the flying arms and legs of the partying guests. Linda walks through the dancers and bumps into Ted. Ted and Linda start to dance, and despite being the worse for drink, Ted's dancing quickly gets the attention of the crowd, who move back to give him room to perform.
Thank you.
audience watching Ted and Linda assume that his slightly unsteady style of dancing is part of a routine and cheer him on as he slips and slides over the dance floor, collapsing face down at the end. Jim hurries over with some help and gets Ted back onto his feet. Danny arrives at the inn just in time to see Ted being helped up the stairs.
He wasn't drunk, it's a gang. What happened? Ted Hanover with his new partner. They were great. New partner.
You better get back.
Well, I'm sorry. If I'd have known how he was,
oh, he'll be all right.
They've put Ted down on a bed, and Jimmy's trying to get his jacket off while Linda returns to the guests downstairs.
Ted! Ted! Ted!
Oh! How is he?
He's out cold. Hot or cold, he can keep his dancing shoes in my office. Did you hear that applause?
Yeah, it went pretty good.
And I was worried about his losing Lila.
Losing Lila?
Yeah. Guess she eloped tonight with some Texan from Texas, with Ted's engagement ring on her finger. But who cares? You lose one girl, you find another. That's life. That's good, huh? Oh,
it's the morning. Again. Jim comes into Ted's room carrying a small tray with a pot of coffee and a cup and saucer on it. He puts the tray down and gives the sleeping Ted a gentle shake.
Come in.
Oh, morning, Ted.
Good morning. Oh.
Got a little head?
Say, where am I?
You're at Holiday Inn.
Well, how'd I get here? Who brought me?
You were clinging to the undercarriage of a Jeep, I think. Here, have a slug out of the mug. You mean you don't remember anything?
Let's see. I had a wire from Lila telling me she's going to marry some millionaire or something. I remember that all right.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had a drink.
A drink? Boy, you were fractured.
And then, I decided I had to talk to my old pal, Jim.
You don't remember anything else?
No, that's all, except that I must have been killed on the way out here or something.
You really come up empty, huh? Too bad about Lila. I think you're better off doing a single. You're a born soloist, you know?
Oh, no, Jim. I've got to have a partner. And when I find her...
Yeah, I know. You'll fall in love with her. You haven't missed yet.
Happy New Year!
Oh, don't do that.
Oh, why didn't you tell me? Letting me beat my brains out worrying about his losing Lila and all the time he's got this girl on the leash.
What girl?
Oh, boy, you must have been high. Doing a complete dance routine with your new partner and you... You don't know who she is?
I danced with a new partner? When? Where?
Here! Last night! Think, Ted. Remember?
Wait a minute. I remember. I got here just about midnight. There was a girl. We danced.
What'd she look like?
I don't know. All I saw was a vague outline.
Can't you remember anything about her?
Well, I remember dancing with her. If I ever danced with her again, I'd probably recognize her.
Great. That takes care of everything but finding her.
You were here. Why ask me how she looked?
I only saw her from the back. She was a... About this, she had a... If I ever saw her from the back again, I'd recognize her.
Well, that's fine. After I've danced with her, just turn
Danny
her around
turns
for
to
you're
Jim.
Okay. This should be a cinch.
You saw her. Describe her.
Who, me? Well, I wasn't watching very closely. She was a medium built sort of a girl with a medium face. She had a nice evening gown on with a belt in the back. She was built just like a girlfriend of mine, a girl you don't know, but her name was Consuela Schlepkis. She used to play the pinball machine a lot down at the corner drugstore. I remember one time she was high man 3 weeks in a row.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
That's nothing at all. Happy to do it for you. See, I've got a hunch, fellas. I've got a hunch we're going to find this girl eventually. And when we do, we'll be glad we waited for her. Listen, I'm not interested in getting any other partner, understand? Chance meeting in the night. Destiny. She'll be back. Here's where we'll find her on the next holiday.
Here?
Here. I've got to go turn the roast.
The calendar shows it's February, and the square of the 12th now fills the screen with the caption Lincoln's birthday written at the bottom. A steady stream of cars ferries the guests to the busy Holiday Inn. Inside, customers are seated at the tables and waiters with blacked up faces take orders, while happy couples are up and dancing to the music of the band. A large black car pulls up and Ted and Danny get out. Jim sees them arrive from an upstairs window and looks alarmed. He stands in the room with his thumb in his mouth, deep in thought.
Now don't worry, we'll find her. If I see her from the back again, I'll recognize her.
It's kind of a roundabout way to go at it, but let's try it.
Ted and Danny stroll onto the packed dance floor, and Danny immediately starts to look at women from behind, hoping to recognize Linda. He gets some curious looks from the men whose women he suspects may be candidates for the elusive Linda.
Are you decent?
Yes, come in. What's that?
I thought it over. I believe if our number would go a little better in blackface.
Oh, I thought we were going to do it like this.
Well, that's before I thought it over.
I look terrible in this stuff.
No.
I don't even know how to put it on.
I'll put it on for you. I broke in as a bootblack, you know. Here we go.
Oh, for a month and a half, I've been dreaming how pretty I was going to look tonight. Well, here's my punishment for thinking so well of myself.
Oh, you'll have plenty of times to be pretty. I was just going to ask you if you'd like to be in the rest of the shows out here.
You were?
Will you?
Will I? 15 nights a year, Cinderella steps into her pumpkin coach and becomes queen of Holiday Inn.
Well, what's the matter?
I wish I didn't have to work all the other days in the year to make these few possible.
Well, maybe a little later on when we start doing better, you can stay out here all the time.
Did you hear what you just said?
Yeah.
Was it a proposal?
Well, it will be when I get a few bucks in the bank.
You're a strange duck. You don't even give me a chance to say darling and throw my arms around you.
Better save that till you see the bank book.
Well, I guess I'm sort of engaged.
Back on the dance floor, Ted and Danny continue with their search, but their conspicuous methods begin to irritate some of the women's male partners.
Say, what is this, a daisy chain?
We were just looking for the back of a girl we don't know.
The dancing couple look at Ted somewhat indignantly as he slips away into the crowd. Jim arrives on stage with a blacked up face, white hair and sideburns, dressed in a top hat and tails, white gloves and a cane.
February morn, a tiny baby boy was born, Abraham, Abraham. When he growed up, this tiny babe, folks all called him Honest Abe, Abraham, Abraham. In 1860, he became the 16th president. And now he's in the Hall of Fame, a most respected gem. That's why we celebrate this blessed February day. Abraham! Abraham!
When black folks lived in slavery, who was it set the darky free? That's right, child. Abraham. When troubles come down from the shelf, whose heart was bigger than himself. Abraham.
Yummy.
Abraham.
The country's going to the dogs. They shouted loud and strong. Then from a cabin made out of logs, the right man came along.
And that is why we celebrate this blessed February day.
United, thank
you. Yes!
One whose name was Nancy Hanks.
Tell me!
Abraham. She gave this land the finest son.
That's what she did.
Whoever went to Washington.
Who that?
Abraham.
When someone told him General Grant was drinking every night, he answered, go on out, see if you can't get all my generals tired. That's why we celebrate this blessed February day. Abraham, Abraham,
Abraham. 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 Abraham.
Night.
I give up. She's not here tonight. You wait here. I'll go up and see if Jim's seen her.
Take you to the station. Remember now, day after tomorrow, St. Valentine's Day. Someone's coming.
Jim takes Linda's arm and leads her down another staircase as Danny trots up the main stairs. Jim and Linda emerge at the front of the building.
Good night.
Good night, Jim. You better get inside before you catch cold. You haven't got a coat.
Well,
Jim kisses Linda on the cheek.
I don't need a coat now. Hey, Ted. Did you find the girl? This is terrible. I wish we could recognize her from the front.
Danny is upstairs and checking in the rooms. He goes over to a window that overlooks the entrance and spots Linda standing outside. Linda departs in a horse-drawn sleigh. Jim does his best to hinder Danny and Ted's attempts to catch her.
It's locked. It's never been locked before.
Oh, me!
Let's try the other stairway.
Oh, hurry, yeah. Take
all three eventually arrive at the entrance where Linda was last seen.
Well, we've lost her again. Did you get a look at her face this time?
No. We're still working from the rear.
How do you know it was her? After all, she had an overcoat on.
I don't care if she had... How do you know she had an overcoat on?
Well, she... If she didn't, look for a girl with pneumonia. Come on, let's get inside. Say, Jim, when's your next show?
Next show? St. Valentine's Day, I think.
Oh, day after tomorrow, huh?
Is it? That's a break. We'll get here bright and early and stay until we find her.
And we'll make an announcement asking her to identify herself.
We won't miss next time.
No. Say, fellas, how'd you like the show? Well, we were so busy, we didn't see much of it, Jim. Why?
Thought the people seemed to like the blackface routine.
Yeah, they did.
Don't you think a blackface number on St. Valentine's Day would be novel?
A what?
It's no good, huh? Just an idea I had.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, Ted.
So long, Jim.
Bye, Dan.
The calendar shows it's February the 14th, St. Valentine's Day.
Lady?
Yes?
You know, we open in an hour and you haven't even had a rehearsal.
Coming.
Oh, Betty, smart.
You'll have to talk Gus into buying a horseless carriage. I spend half my life between here and the station.
Yeah, Gus will have to face the machine age sooner or later, won't he?
Did you escape those bill collectors the other night?
Bill collectors? Oh, yes, temporarily. Say, that reminds me, I got a surprise for you downstairs.
Well, thanks. What reminds you?
Nothing. It's just I want you to remember the surprise when those doggone bill collectors move in.
The final preparations are being completed for the show tonight as Jim and Linda walk into the room.
Oh, the inn is so romantic looking.
Nice. I posed for those Cupids myself.
Hello, boys.
Hello. Hi, Union. Played up cards here tonight.
Where's surprise.
Right, Linda here. Opens the box, which contains a song sheet.
Beautiful. Be careful, it's my heart.
And I ain't kidding either. I wrote this just for you, honey.
Be careful, it's my heart. It's not my watch you're holding, it's my heart. It's not the note I sent you that you quickly burned. It's not the book I lent you that you never returned. Remember, it's my heart. The heart with which so willingly I part. It's yours to take, to keep or break. But please, before you start, be careful, it's my heart. Be careful, it's my heart. It's not my watch you're holding, it's my heart. It's not the note I sent you that you quickly burned. It's not the book I lent you that you never return. Remember, it's my heart. The heart with which so willingly I part. It's yours to take, to keep or break. But please, before you start, be careful, it's my heart.
She's perfect, light as a feather.
You found her, Jim. You're a pal.
Yeah.
Young lady, do you realize that we've been searching for you for weeks?
For me?
Yes, ever since... The girl in the flower shop.
Yes, Mr. Reed.
Where have you been working since New Year's Eve?
Here. Would you mind letting me in on your secret?
Oh, it's no secret. Ted Hanover's looking for a new dancing partner, and we've decided to give you the job.
Oh, here, now, wait just a minute.
Oh, no hard feelings, Jim. I don't blame you for trying. She's wonderful. I feel as if I'd known her for months.
Oh, same old feeling, huh?
Let's see, Washington's birthday is the next show. That'll give us a week of rehearsals. We can open the act here.
I'll take care of the invitations. Strictly formal. I'll get all the newspaper boys from New York.
Now, hold everything. This is my inn, and I'm not running it for a bunch of stuffed shirts.
What would you like, the dungaree set?
Well, that'd be better than that bunch of chowderheads you'd drag in. Maybe I can't use the act.
Not use Ted Hanover.
Well, the show's pretty well set. You're in, but he's out.
But you could change the show for a special occasion like this.
Of course he could. He's just trying to hide his gratitude. Jim, you better think up a number for us.
Well, just what do you visualize, Ziggy?
Let's see. For Washington's birthday, I see a sort of a romantic costume thing.
Naturally.
Something that just reeks with grace and charm, you know? Mm-hmm. I think the music should be sweet and gentle to, well, to create the mood each time I take her into my arms and kiss her. That's it.
Don't you think it's getting a little stuffy in here?
The calendar now shows that it's February the 22nd, Washington's birthday. The dancers and the band are all dressed in period costumes. Jim sits at the piano with a glazed look on his face as the show begins.
Say that you're homely, just as homely as pie. But this is Washington's birthday, and I've got to say you're beautiful, 'cause I can't tell a lie. I could say that you're stupid, nothing up in your crown. But this is Washington's birthday, and the truthful he of the cherry tree would look down on me and frown. I could say that I hate you if I try, but I've got to say I love you, 'cause it's February the 22nd and I can't tell a lie.
A close watch on Ted and Linda, and as soon as they get close to a kiss, he changes the music, forcing them apart into a new fast-paced dance routine. Then he returns to the slower original tune. Ted and Linda glare at Jim. He shrugs back at them as if he's just as surprised at them at the erratic music. Ponytail at the front, which he quickly lifts up as the crowd applauds. Linda's in her dressing room. Ted knocks at the door.
Come in.
Well, honey, in spite of what good old Jim tried to do to us, your future starts as of tonight. Now, where would you like to go from here?
From here?
Yes, New York, Havana, Rio. We have our pick of engagements, you know.
But I can't be your partner if you leave the inn.
Of course you can. There's no reason for you to remain buried here.
There's a very good reason. I've promised to be in Jim's holiday shows for the rest of the year.
Oh, but he tricked you into that while he was hiding you from me.
No matter how he did it, I've promised. And besides, we're going to be married.
Married? Oh, now, wait a minute. Let's be fair. He didn't give me a chance. After all, I love you, too. Linda, from the very first moment we danced together, I knew you were to be the one girl in my life.
But you didn't even know my name.
Please. All right, forget about me, then. Forget about Jim. Think of yourself. Here's your chance to do the one thing you like best. Not only for 15 days a year, but always.
Sorry, but I promise.
Jim is in his room, changing out of his costume as Ted walks in.
Well,
I guess I should apologize for hooking up your number, huh?
Oh, forget it. I'm the one that should apologize to you. Here I've been trying to take Linda away from you, not knowing you two are going to be married.
Married?
Yeah. Aren't you?
Yes, sure. I mean, naturally, we're sort of engaged.
Oh. Well, anyway, I've decided to bow out of here. Linda's all yours.
Well, you're a pretty game guy to take it this way.
Well, it's happened so often, I'm getting used to it, that's all. Goodbye, kid.
Out of luck, Ted.
Ted leaves Jim in his room. Danny is waiting outside.
How are we doing? 2 minutes ago, I would have sold my chances for a tired dime. But when a man is surprised to hear that he's going to be married, brother, that's when I go to work with a clear conscience.
Everything's good, huh?
Everything is perfect.
The calendar displays the month of April. Then, the 5th, with Easter Sunday written on it, fills the screen. The trees are full of blossom as the congregation leave the church after the Sunday service. Jim and Linda get into a small horse-drawn carriage that's parked at the church entrance.
Bonnet with all the frills upon it, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade. I'll be all in clover, and when they look you over, I'll be the proudest fella in the Easter parade. On the avenue, Fifth Avenue, the photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the row to grab your. Oh, I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade. On the avenue, Fifth Avenue, the photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the row to grab your. Oh, I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade.
Hello. I didn't exactly expect the welcome mat, but I thought somebody might say hello.
Hello.
Thanks.
What brings you here on this bright and uninviting day?
I've discovered something, my friends, about life.
Meaning what?
Well, I don't want success. I want the true happiness you people have found here at the inn.
Well, you're not going to stay in the inn.
Not just stay. I want to be part of your shows, help you in your work. Share your simple pleasures.
I asked you once not to interfere, Ted.
Please believe me, I'm a tired, lonely, and unhappy man. But I could be happy here, helping the two people I like the best. Will you take me in?
My motherly intuition tells me to throw him out.
Well, you might at least give him the benefit of the doubt.
Given him plenty of doubt. Are you kidding with that sharing life's simple pleasures?
May I go inside with you?
Why, of course.
My trunks will arrive this afternoon.
What do? Move in the broom closet?
Jim, that's no way to talk to a man who's here to help you.
The world doesn't change. A gentle smile often breeds a kick in the pants. But for your sake, Linda, I'll be big.
The calendar shows it's now July, and the 4th fills the screen with the caption Independence Day. A large estate car lurches to a halt outside the Holiday Inn as the staff set the tables out on the front lawn.
I'll give you a tip about these things, Gus. They'll go up and back, but not sideways.
Well, I keep forgetting this blame king can't see where it's going.
Yeah, we'll unload the rest of this stuff.
Gus lurches away in the car. Jim sees Ted lounging in a hammock.
Hey, what'd you do, get up before breakfast?
Oh, every morning. First you slept well. When I found out how late you got in, I told Mamie to let you sleep.
Life on a farm.
Can't beat it, huh?
Jim, you've made me very happy.
That's fine. Now, how about you making me happy?
You sound like a landlord with the eviction papers.
Oh, this is good news. Lila's back in New York. I got a letter from her yesterday.
What happened to her millionaire?
Slight mistake there. He didn't own millions, he owed them.
Poor girl. Always straying to greener pastures and finding spinach.
Yeah. Say, she was wondering if you'd be interested in taking her back as a partner. I think it'd be a great idea.
Naturally, you would. But I like it here, with you and Linda.
Yes, and we love having you, too. When are you leaving?
Jim shoots Ted a knowing look, just as a flustered Danny arrives in a taxi.
Why didn't you say something?
You look so silly.
Where's Jim?
Inside.
Good. I fixed it. Here's the news in one luscious word. Hollywood.
Now, I told you I'm not leaving here until Linda goes with me.
But this is the setup you needed to get her away from Jim. Now, there are going to be two Hollywood men here tonight to see the show. One's an important director. If they like your dancing, you and Linda will be on a westbound train tomorrow.
We'd better find out if Linda's interested.
No. We let her know when there's a contract staring her in the face.
Look.
I know you're in love with the girl, but forget it until we get her away from here. This is no time to be honest.
Well, what should I do?
All we have to do is to convince Jim that he'd be a heel if he stood in the way of a chance like this.
Well, that'll be easy. Like peeling
Jim
a turtle.
Jim overhears the conversation between Danny and Ted and hatches a plan.
Mamie says these go up here.
Yeah, set them right down. Say, Gus, how'd you like to earn a slow $10?
Oh, don't care how slow, but sure.
Sure, all right. Here's the wrinkle. I want you to go down to the station, pick up a party, and start for Holiday Inn, but never get here. Could you handle that?
Wouldn't be surprised.
Hello? Long distance. Well, that's what I want you to do with Linda Mason.
Miss Mason? Our friend?
You're not supposed to understand it, Gus. For that kind of money, you ought to be able to go by way of Medicine Hat. Hello? Yeah, just a minute. Long distance. I want to get Parkway Hotel, New York City, Miss Lila Dixon.
A large crowd has gathered at the Holiday Inn. Ted paces nervously up and down in his room. He glances out of the window and sees Danny ushering the two Hollywood men to their table.
Linda says she'd be here for final rehearsal.
Oh, relax. Our audience is
Ted frowns at Jim's comment. Danny sits uneasily with the two stony-faced Hollywood men.
Gosh, you made a wrong turn.
Shortcut.
Gus!
Shortcut. To the shortcut.
The car plunges into a shallow pond. Gus then climbs out through the window and wades to the front of the car.
How could you possibly expect to drive through this?
Gus lifts open the car bonnet.
Well, I never had no trouble with a horse.
Oh, you'd better carry me to shore and I'll walk back to the highway.
Well, I think you'd be better off waiting right here.
Gus, will you please do as I say?
He lifts Linda out of the car through the window.
The other way!
Huh?
Turn around!
He stumbles and falls into the water with Linda.
Turn around!
pushed.
Danny is agitated. The Hollywood men look unimpressed.
I swear the show will start any minute now.
You said that an hour ago.
Yeah, but this time I'm sincere. Excuse me.
Who started the show?
I did.
You're on.
Well, what about Ted's partner?
You've kept this crowd waiting long enough. He can go on without her.
Have you gone nuts? I rehearsed a double dance.
Let's say it with firecrackers and banners held high. Let's have a real old-fashioned noisy 4th of July. Let's say it with firecrackers down south and up north. Let's have the kind we used to call a glorious 4th. Let's salute our native land. Roman candles in each hand, while the Yankee Doodle Band gets hotter than a firecracker. Don't need any long speeches or shouts of hooray. No words can say as much as firecrackers can say.
Freedom, freedom.
Here comes the freedom man.
On this day of independence, on this Independence Day, listen to an American troubadour from the USA. I'm singing a song of freedom for all people who cry out to be free. Free to sail the seven seas, free to worship as we please. If the birds up in the trees can be free, why can't we? I'm bringing a song of freedom to all people wherever they may be. Free to speak and free to hear, free from want and free from fear. Sons of freedom, far and near, who agree, sing with me that all God's people shall be free.
I'm singing a song of freedom for all people who cry out to be free.
Free to sail the seven seas, free to worship as we please. If the birds up in the trees can be free,
why can't we? I'm singing a song of freedom to all people wherever they may be.
Free to speak and free to hear, free from want and free from fear. Sons of freedom, far and near, who agree,
sing with me
that all God's people shall be free.
Window soaking wet has walked back to the road just as a car comes along.
Will you give me a lift?
Sure, hop in.
Aren't you Ted Hanover's former dancing partner?
Yes. Although I wouldn't exactly say former. I'm dancing with him at the inn tonight.
But I... Doesn't he have a new partner?
Oh, she won't be there tonight.
I didn't know that. I work at the inn.
Oh?
Waitress? Yes.
I know your boss, Jim Hardy, quite well.
Quite well. Then he's responsible for your rejoining Mr. Hanover.
Uh-huh. And by the way, if I were you, I'd look my prettiest tonight when I'm waiting on table. Jim says there'll be a couple of men there from Hollywood to consider Ted and me for pictures.
And Mr. Hanover's other partner will be missing this chance to go to Hollywood.
Yes, although she can't be very talented or they wouldn't be working at the inn. Ted and I played only the best places.
Listen, you're late for the show already. If you'd care to let me drive, I know
Linda
a shortcut
to get
us there
into
15 minutes
right
sooner.
Next to Gussie's car.
There's
There's a farmhouse near here, and I'll have us towed out in a couple of minutes.
Oh, for the love of mud, hurry.
Wait right here.
Linda wades out of
the
pond.
What else can I do?
You're on now.
But Linda isn't here yet.
You've got to save the pieces. Keep those men interested now and do a number with Linda later.
What can I do?
Well, fake something.
Ted spots a couple of tubs with fireworks in and fills his trouser pockets with them.
There's your cue. Don't fail me. Keep them flying.
I'll keep them flying.
Ted dances onto the stage with his hands in his pockets and a cigarette in his mouth. He pulls one of the fireworks from his pocket and hurls it at the floor, where it explodes on impact. Throwing the little bombs as he dances. He now pulls out a firecracker and lights it from his cigarette. He now has a long strip of firecrackers, which he lights from the cigarette. They explode around his fast-moving feet. Linda arrives as Ted bows to the audience. He spots her and makes a hasty retreat from the stage.
Linda, what happened to you?
A bad job of sabotage. Excuse me. Well, Jim, you deliberately kept me from working at the inn tonight, didn't you?
Yeah.
You knew there would be men here from Hollywood who might offer me a chance in pictures. You decided I shouldn't have that opportunity. Not even the opportunity to refuse.
I was afraid the offer might be too important for you to turn down.
Well, the point is, you don't trust me to make my own decisions, because they might interfere with your own selfish plans. I've had about enough of that, Jim.
Ted, Linda! Mr. Parker, Mr. Dunbar... I want you to meet the greatest aunt seam in show business, Hanover and Mason. And the owner, Jim Hardy.
Oh, glad to know you, Hardy. Nice little place you've got here.
Gentlemen, even though you haven't seen Miss Mason dance, I can assure you...
Hardy, Hollywood is always interested in new ideas, and we think this is a honey.
Thank you.
Frankly, we'd like to do a picture based on Holiday Inn. The idea behind it, how it works, the special holiday songs.
Of course, it's purely a speculative thing, far from foolproof, and we can't afford to pay too much.
You don't have to start talking it down, because the idea is not for sale.
Well, maybe I haven't explained enough. We expect to use Mr. Hanover and his partner in the picture.
Well, I don't know how the others feel, but I'd like to keep this little setup just the way it is.
Jim, would you be decent just once and let somebody else around here have a chance?
Oh, wait a minute, Danny. After all, the place belongs to him. He can do as he wants.
I guess it was just too good to last, huh?
A simple little layout where we could do our best at the work we know without having any illusions of glory. But I can see now that I'm the only one who could be happy here. Go ahead, take the idea, take the music, take Linda, take the whole darn thing.
But what about you? We'll need you in Hollywood to write the rest of the music.
Oh, no, I work right here. I'll send you the music when it's written. And don't bother me before, huh? I guess maybe I was a little selfish,
Linda,
huh?
Looks saddened by
Jim's
harsh words.
Is that the deal you wanted, or should I have thrown in my shirt?
Chummy sort of a fella, isn't he? Listen, Linda, if you really want to stay here,
Don't talk that way. This is the chance you wanted, isn't it? Of course! Boy, are we happy!
The name Hollywood blazes onto the screen, and reflected in the lens of a film studio camera, Ted and Linda are shown dancing together. Dance, imposed images of big bands, chorus lines, cameramen filming, musical notes and song sheets all pass across the screen as they glide along smiling at one another. Thanksgiving Day. A small cartoon turkey sits on the 27 square, then the words Thanksgiving Day move to the 20 square. The turkey walks up to the number 20 square, and the words then promptly move back to the 27 square. So the turkey follows. This happens a few times until the turkey shrugs its wings and gives up. The snow is falling steadily at the Holiday Inn, and a crude sign is nailed up at the entrance saying closed. Inside, Jim sits at a desk and is writing a letter to Linda, which reads, "I'm mailing a recording of the Thanksgiving number today. Sorry about the delay, but the inn's been doing such great business I've been swamped." He has a magazine open on his desk which has a feature on Ted and Linda, linking them romantically. He closes it and finishes his letter. He writes, "By the way, I read about your engagement to Ted. I guess that makes your success complete. Congratulations, Jim."
Jim?
Same to you, Mamie. And staff?
Didn't I tell you children to stay in the kitchen? Those wings ain't gonna fly away. Now shoot. Get. Everything's ready and hot, Mr. Jim.
Jim was about to put the record for Linda into a box for posting, but changes his mind and takes it over to the record player and places it on the turntable. He then sits at a small table that has the turkey dinner Mamie has prepared for him.
I've got plenty to be thankful for.
Are you kidding?
I haven't got a great big yacht to sail from shore to shore. Still, I've got plenty to be thankful for.
You're loaded, Dad.
I've got plenty to be thankful for.
Like what?
No private car, no caviar, no carpet on my floor. Still, I've got plenty to be thankful for.
You know, you're better off than I am.
I've got eyes to see with.
You need glasses.
Ears to hear with.
Or fly with.
Arms to hug with. Lips to kiss with. Someone to adore.
You're a little flat, too.
How could anybody ask for more? My needs are small. I buy them all at the 5 and 10 cent store.
Sing it.
Oh, I've got plenty to be thankful for.
Why, you ain't at a bite.
I'm pouting, Mamie. Who is this?
That's Mr. Jones.
Jonesy?
I'm sorry. I knew him too well.
But you've got to eat. The trouble ain't with that turkey, Mr. Jim. It's you.
I feel all right. I'm riding high, Mamie.
Well, why you close the inn and sit around like a jellyfish with the misery? Because a slicker stole your gal, and you ain't got fight enough to get her back. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Jim, but...
Well, I tried to keep her here.
What kind of keeping is that? Nothing but tricks. If you went to Hollywood and told Miss Linda how much you loves her and misses her and told her that the way a lady likes to hear it told, I'll bet you she'd be the quickest ex-movie star that ever exed.
You're crazy, Mamie.
I'm crazy. I knows Miss Linda. I knows her like I knows my own kids. Why, she ain't the fancy type no more than you are. What she wants is what you got right here. But women has to have them things told to them the right way. You could melt her heart right down to butter if you'd only turn on the heat.
Well, maybe you don't try to take a fella's gal away from him after he's bought the ring. Or, as I recall, do you?
Now you are talking.
Sure, women has to be told
the calendar
right
shows
way.
That it's December 24th, Christmas Eve. The sign on the door reads dressing rooms. Danny and Ted are inside.
At last, the night I've been dreaming about actually here.
This is still my wedding, you know. You make me feel like a kibitzer.
Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm happy because this marriage means that we can all settle down and stop worrying.
I wish I had your confidence without your viewpoint. My fingers are crossed until Linda and I are on that plane bound for Yuma.
Now, what's worrying you?
I don't know, except I've been this close to marriage before, only to wake up next morning and find myself with no bride and a hangover.
Look, the girl said yes. The picture finishes tonight. There's a judge waiting in Yuma.
Come in.
Everything is all set and ready. What could possibly happen to...
Hiya, fellas.
Jim, what brought you here?
A train? A chug, 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 chug? Wedding? When is it?
Wedding?
Yeah.
Well, we hadn't set any exact time.
Have you seen Linda?
No, not yet. But, say, I saw your director, and he told me he was shooting the finale tonight. I thought I'd like to see how you make pictures.
He wouldn't... You wouldn't like what they're doing tonight.
Well, why not?
Oh, no, that's dull. Technical stuff.
Well, I'm a dull, technical sort of a fella.
Perhaps if you'd wait and see Linda tomorrow.
Oh, no. I want to see the finish. The success of you and Linda means a lot to me, pal.
Why don't you be yourself? What are you up to?
Well, I'm a son of a gun. This is a beautiful hunk of welcome for a guy who comes coast to coast just to wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy wedding. You remember how I suspected you when you came to live at the inn on Easter morning? It was silly, wasn't it?
Now I know he's up to something.
Oh, wait a minute now. Let's not be unfair.
Huh?
No, we're treating Jim like a poor country cousin. He doesn't mean any harm.
Oh, no.
No, he just wants to see Linda.
So?
Let's show him Linda.
Yeah. Danny shoves Jim into a cupboard.
This is the way we're going.
What's this? Hey! Hey, Ted, what is it?
I was afraid you'd gone crazy.
I'll keep him in here till you get Linda on that plane.
I better hurry and get my clothes on.
Yeah, in the meantime, I'll go down the set and see how near ready they are.
Wait a minute. My clothes are in there.
Merry Christmas!
Jim!
Pal, wait! Stop! We were only fooling!
Jim escapes from the cupboard and locks Ted and Danny in the dressing room.
Who are you calling?
Nobody.
Jim arrives at the film studios and goes to the set where Linda is due to be filming. He sees an exact replica of the Holiday Inn built in the studio, complete with piles of white fake snow. Danny and Ted are lowering themselves out of the window of the locked dressing room.
It's one of the most authentic reproduction jobs we've ever done.
Is it?
And all worked out from those photographs we took of your place in Connecticut.
Uh-huh. Oh. Well, Mamie and the kids ought to see this. They'd never believe it.
Anything wrong?
Well, that Christmas tree's a little out of place. I guess nobody would notice that but me or Linda.
We're going to start rolling in a couple of minutes. Come along with me where you can see everything.
No, I'll just sort of stay in the background. I don't want to get in your way.
Well, suit yourself.
Jim pulls the Christmas tree in closer to the piano. He stands in front of the piano and places his pipe on top of it. He then sees Linda arriving on the set.
All right, darling, we're going to follow you on the boom from here inside the inn. And when you get in the other set, do your song. Let's see, I think you have the mood. Your Hollywood success was empty. You've lost the one man you love. You know, the usual hoax. Just make me cry and you can get to that wedding. All ready for rehearsal?
Yes. Please, let's shoot it.
Okay, it's a take.
All right, everybody, quiet on the stage. It's a take. Blow them up. Come on over there. Quiet down. Let's get settled, everybody. Come on, everybody, let's get settled now. Just a picture. Get out there with your broom. Hit your snow. All right,
Ted
roll.
And Danny race up to the studio door.
Sorry, Mr. Hanover, but when the red light's on, you couldn't get in even if you owned the studio.
Oh, but Pop, this is important.
I know, so is the light.
Hit your playback. Music. All right, thank you.
Linda, dressed in a fur coat, sits in the back of an elaborate horse-drawn sleigh which pulls up to the entrance of the Holiday Inn. The fake snow gently falls from above. She gets out, helped by the doorman, and goes inside the deserted room and walks over to the roaring fire, slowly running her hand along the mantelpiece. Jim whistles along in the background. Rush into the studio.
All right, gentlemen. How could he get that far in 5 minutes?
The lady must have been willing.
It's New Year's Eve. A poster announces reopening of Holiday Inn. Guest of honor, Ted Hanover. Jim and Ted both take to the stage.
Here she comes down the street. I'll admit my defeat. I've won my hot toddy over my scarred body. I knew that I'd win singing.
But wait until she gets a load of your dancing.
We'll stay at the inn singing.
All by myself, I'll have to stick to my dancing.
I'm here to end your dancing trouble and strife.
Oh, this will be fun. Miss Hit and Run has come back into my life.
We'll stay at the inn.
Have to begin
singing,
dancing.
We've each other to cling to. You'll be easy to sing to.
And you're easy to dance with.
So let the old year die with a fond goodbye.